The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness, that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load, it doesn't weigh me down at all. For he ain't heavy. He's my brother. When the soldiers were done with Jesus, they put his clothes back on him and led him to the hill where he was to be crucified. Calvary, Calvaria in the Latin, Golgotha in the Aramaic, all of which mean the place of the skull. Calvary was actually just only about half a kilometre from Pilate's palace. Not a great distance. But due to Jesus' weakened state and the weight of the cross, it would have taken a considerable time to get there. But they never went the most direct route. People were taken the longest way to Calvary. This was to ensure that they suffered more pain, more agony, more abuse, more torture, and more humiliation from the people who stood on the sidelines. The written notice of the charge or the crime against him, the King of the Jews, was carried ahead of Jesus on the road, and then later was fixed to the cross when they crucified him. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read of this man, Simon of Cyrene, who helped Jesus carry his cross. And if you read the gospel accounts, you will see that very little is known about him. Yes, he was from Cyrene, a city in North Africa. And yes, he was probably visiting Jerusalem for the Passover. We know that he was coming in from the country and that he was the father of Rufus and Alexander. And that he was just passing by on the road like all the other people were on that occasion. We can possibly imagine that Simon would have been very excited to be celebrating the Passover. The festival lasted for about 7 days and was filled with good food and drink, with music and stories and new people that he would meet. He may have felt extremely lucky or privileged to be celebrating the Passover in Jerusalem. But I can't imagine for one moment that one of the people that he thought that he would have been meeting would have been Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Up until this moment, perhaps Simon was quite joyful. Jesus' days leading up until this moment, however, were quite the opposite. Jesus had been betrayed by Jesus, arrested by the guards, disowned by his disciples, mocked by the soldiers, tried and convicted for a crime he did not commit. He was tortured, flogged, called names, crowned with thorns. He was beaten, he was hit, and then he was made to carry his own cross. His journey on this road filled with blood and pain and unimaginable agony. We don't even know if Simon was a follower of Jesus before this encounter. But we do know that he was forced by the Roman soldiers to carry the cross with Jesus. Or in Luke's gospel, it says that they seized him and put the cross on him. So Simon finds himself on the road to Calvary, the same road that Jesus was walking. No easy road for anyone to walk. If only Simon had been around just a few days earlier to hear the crowd shouting so excitedly, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," rather than this day when the crowds had turned and instead were yelling, "Crucify him." But here he was, seized by the soldiers and suddenly forced into the presence of Jesus. Close enough to hear Jesus' voice, to hear his groans, to smell his sweat, to feel his blood. The presence of Jesus. While Simon is not mentioned again in Scripture, many theologians have speculated about his son Rufus and why Rufus was named in the Gospel of Mark, and how perhaps this may be the same Rufus that is mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, in the early days of the church. Who knows? And it may not particularly matter, except for the question, was Simon's life changed because he helped carry the cross that day? Was his life changed on that road because of the blood of Jesus that he encountered? And in my humble opinion, surely it must have been. Encountering Jesus is life-changing, whether that's 2,000 years ago, whether that's today. Meeting Jesus transforms people's lives. But it's not just this meeting that's important. It's the aftermath of that encounter that matters, because you change after you meet Jesus. You're not the same. But what do you do then with the change? Are you happy with simply one encounter with Jesus? Or do you want to go back to him time and time and time again? Do you want to remain in close proximity with Jesus on the road, on the journey of life, with him walking beside you, but now with him helping you carry your burdens? Well, yes, Simon was initially forced into the presence of Jesus. Surely he chose to stay and see what happened next. Surely he stuck around in Jerusalem and heard about the resurrection. Surely he chose to remain in the presence of Jesus. Are you choosing to stay in his presence? In Luke's account of this interaction, it says they put the cross on him, that is Simon, and they made him carry it behind Jesus. It's interesting that this is only recorded in Luke's gospel. Why did the soldiers make him do this? Why did they make him walk behind Jesus? There are suggestions that if Simon had have been out the front, then the journey to Calvary possibly would have been a lot quicker along the road. Simon would have been setting the pace and possibly dragging Jesus along behind him. But instead, Jesus led the way. Simon took up the cross and followed at Jesus' pace and followed where Jesus was leading. In Mark's Gospel in chapter 8, we read, "Then he," that's Jesus, "called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.'" The same verse in Luke 9 verse 23 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." And then a few chapters on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, it says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Simon of Cyrene provides us with an example of what this truly looks like. But I don't know of anyone who wants to carry a cross, because it's not easy. It's not easy to follow Jesus. At times we can be taunted and abused by the crowds. Crosses can be frightening, heavy, burdensome, and to be frank, it would be easier if we didn't have to carry them at all. But what if we could just carry our cross and walk ahead at our own pace, not follow Jesus? Well, that's not what Jesus commands us to do. Take up your cross daily and follow me. What is the cross that Jesus is asking you to take up today? Or perhaps you are struggling under the burdens you are having to carry. Perhaps the weight of a cross is too much. And perhaps you need somebody to help you carry the load. When I was a child, I was introduced by my parents in our dinner time devotions to the Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you may think that that's a very strange thing to be introduced to as a child, and possibly I would agree. As kids, we never appreciated it, and we had a book called The Family's Pilgrim's Progress, and I suspect that it was one of my brothers who hid the book, and it was never to be seen again until we moved house the next time. This story, originally written by John Bunyan, tells of a man whose name is Christian, who was anxious and ashamed of his sin and the burden that he carried on his back. And he must make this journey to the celestial city to find redemption. The image I remember is of a man stooped so low with this weight of this big, almost boulder on his back, unable to move properly until he arrives at the cross. I have our family's copy from when I was a child of The Pilgrim's Progress on our shelf at home. And in this version of the story, written for younger readers, it says this: "And then he saw the simple wooden cross. It stood on the crown of a hill, and an open grave lay at the foot. The moment Christian reaches the cross, the burden simply fell off his back and onto the ground. Then it rolled down the slope and disappeared from sight into the open grave. Free at last, he squared his shoulders. He stood up straight for the first time. For a moment, he stayed quietly where he was, thinking about the one who had died on the cross so that his burden could be taken away forever. And tears of joy and gratitude rolled down his face. when we come to the cross, our burdens can also roll down the hill and into the empty grave. But you know, this is not the climax of the story, because we know what happens on Sunday. And if you continue to read the story of the Pilgrim's Progress, the goal is spending eternity with Jesus. Losing our burdens, losing our sin at the cross is actually the beginning of new life for us. The opportunity for us to step in to the life that God has planned for us through the redemptive blood of Jesus. Are you struggling under the weight of your burden? Are you ashamed of what you are carrying? On the day of the crucifixion, it was Simon of Cyrene who helped Jesus carry the cross, who helped relieve the weight under which Jesus was crumbling. But because of this road to Calvary that Jesus walked, we can now come to him. The road to Calvary, the place where we can meet Jesus, where we can enter into his presence, the place where we can choose to take up our cross and follow him, the place where we can come, we can leave our anxiety, leave our burdens, leave our cares, stand up straight, square our shoulders and step into what he has for us. The resurrection, the life that he has. This morning, as we close, we invite you to come. You may want to stand, you may want to kneel, you may want to come with somebody else to the road of Calvary. If you're like me, you may have met Jesus so many times, but how good is it to still come and be in his presence? You may once again want to take up your cross and say, God, show me what it is that I need to take up and do to follow you. Or perhaps you want to leave your burdens here again. Leave your sin behind. Leave your anxiety so that you can stand tall and step in to the life that he has for you. We invite you to do that now as the music plays and as we reflect on what this road to Calvary means for us each.